Our scripture calls us pray without ceasing. God wants us to have an unbroken connection with Him. He wants us to constantly pray. To pray always rejoicing. And to pray giving thanks in all circumstances. When we wake up in the morning, we do with thanksgiving for a new day. It's a prayerful beginning. We pray for our day that God would make it straight in the way of the Lord, covering it with prayer. Let our prayers ascend before you, O Lord, as the sweet aroma of incense, the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice of thanksgiving, we pray. Never stopping. No intermissions. No breaks. Unceasing prayer every day, every hour, and every moment, awake or asleep. It may seem that God wants us to drop out of school, quit our jobs, end our retirement, and join a monastic order. You'll remember that's what Martin Luther did, if you recall his story. The call to prayer started at 3 a.m., and was hourly and ended at midnight every day. This full day of prayer with brothers and sisters in Christ is life-changing. I hope you've had the experience of a retreat or pilgrimage where you've prayed and devoted yourselves to prayer. It's powerful, it's restful, and it releases a flood from the God of peace. It's a call to unceasing prayer, prayer that continually flows from our mouths and our hearts, from God's people to God. We might say, I don't have time for that kind of prayer. Martin Luther famously said, I have so much to do today, I shall spend my first 3 hours in prayer. He was too busy not to pray. This is not simply a call to make more time to pray, however. It's a call to see the Christian life itself as a life of prayer in all its forms and in all its ways. Think about how the Bible defines prayer using many words like these: to entreat, to call, to cry out, to seek, to inquire, to ask, to beseech, to implore, to wait on, to hope, to search, to worship, to praise, to give thanks, to rejoice, to give petitions, to confess, to devote, to commune, to adore, to intercede, to lie prostrate, to kneel, to raise hands, and many more. Our posture, the inclination of our hearts, our words, and our actions all become prayerful devotion. Our whole being is turning toward God. And that's what repentance is. It's turning away from sin toward God. Our lives are to flow from our relationship with Him, from Him and back to Him, as the scripture says, for from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. It's not about making more time for God, but we're making more room for Him in our hearts. It's about staying connected to God throughout the day, to enjoy a relationship with our Creator. What greater privilege is there? This is not a scheduling issue. This is an issue of the heart. It's exactly what John the Baptist was called to do, that voice crying out in the wilderness for people to come into the light of Christ, to ready themselves for the way of the Lord as He comes into the world and into our lives, to turn us away from self-centeredness, from worldliness, toward the kingdom-centered life. What's the alternative? To feel disconnected to God, I suppose. And we may feel that way oftentimes, or feel that He's absent. Or we become Sunday morning Christians, but the rest of the week we live as agnostics and atheists. The real tragedy is when we wander from this prayerful path that our shepherd wants to lead us on. Or we forget our baptismal identity as children of God, straying from the light of Christ into the shadows, and what Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls the agony of prayerlessness. Last week, I heard Amy Harkness's niece, Victoria, tell a story about Amy's father, Norm, Victoria's grandfather. She asked her grandfather, as he was nearing death and confined to his bed, if he still prayed. "Of course," he said, "I have to. But it's not so much about talking as it is knowing the presence of God with me." Prayer had become for him less about making requests and saying prayers as it did living in the light of the Savior Jesus Christ and His presence. It had more to do with being in relationship with Him. For a year, I worked in a parking garage in downtown Dallas, and our custodian, an elderly man, used to walk around singing as he worked and cleaning up unspeakable things in that parking garage. And I once asked him, "Why are you so cheerful?" And his response was simple but profound. "I speaks and I walks with God." Prayer may not change God, but it transforms us. And when we broaden our understanding of prayer, we deepen our vision and we enter this prayer-filled life. We don't want to stop. We don't want to cease doing that. God's not calling us for us to live under the burden of prayer, but to lift our burdens through prayer. And there are plenty of those. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances," Paul says. It's an invitation to open ourselves up to the rich and abiding presence of God. He wants to live in relationship with us always. He calls us to be forever connected to Him. In a healthy relationship, we can express the full spectrum of our emotions. We're free to share with the ones we love our ups and our downs in life, in every stage of life. And we will never burden or overwhelm God, for He is our greatest friend and prayer partner. He calls us to cast all our cares upon Him, all our anxieties, because He cares for us. When we wake up, we can open our eyes to the kingdom's presence and our lips to declare His praise. When we walk, we can talk with God. We can think about our families and friends during the day and at the same time lift them up in prayer. We can pray for our coworkers as we pass them in the hallway or as we go to that next appointment. We can pray for our communities as we walk through them or as we drive through our cities or take the train or fly across our nation. We can pray for this world as we read or hear the daily news, even if it is simply the refrain, "Lord, have mercy." We can remind ourselves moment by moment that our lives are lived in the face of God, with His smile upon us, wanting us to live in communion with Him, His countenance radiating our lives with the light of Christ. There is nothing we do or say that cannot be immersed or sprinkled with the unceasing current of the Holy Spirit that we have in our baptism. When Jesus endured the agony of the cross, he did not endure it in the agony of prayerlessness, even at his worst moment. But he prayed some of his best prayers while giving his life for the sin of the world. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Today you will be with me in paradise, praying, entreating, and interceding from the cross of Calvary, and then rising from the dead in triumph. And so he comes again to make all things new, to usher his presence into our lives again and again, into an even deepening relationship, to an even greater connectiveness. And so we pray without ceasing. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.